testifiers. Hey, y'all. I'm looking for our testifiers for this afternoon. Catherine Murray, Alice Baisley Robinson, Rabbi Rick Jacobs, Gregory Deer Jr. Please report to the stage right here on my right as soon as possible, like now. Thank you.
Because you're shorter than I am. All right. We are a new unsettling force.
We are a new unsettling force.
And we are powerful, a new unsettling force.
And we are powerful, a new unsettling force.
And we're here, a new unsettling force.
And we are here, a new unsettling force.
For liberation, and we got nothing to lose but our chains. For liberation. So these guys know it. They're going to help you out. Ready?
Yeah. We are a new unsettling force, and we are powerful, a new unsettling. Clap it up. And we're here. We're a new unsettling force for liberation, and we got nothing to lose but our chains, and we got nothing. and we got nothing to lose but our chains. And we got nothing to lose but our chains. We are a new unsettling force, and we are powerful. A new unsettling force, and we're here. We're a new unsettling force for liberation, and we got nothing to lose but our chains. And we got nothing to lose. One more time. We are a new unsettling force, and we are powerful. A new unsettling force, and we're here. We're a new unsettling force for liberation.
And we got nothing to lose but our chains. And we got nothing to lose but our chains.
And we
got nothing to lose but our chains.
And we
got nothing to lose but our chains.
And we got nothing to lose but our chains. And we got nothing to lose but our chains. That's what we got nothing to lose but our chains.
Bring it in a little bit, crowd, like you like each other, like you're in a movement together, like you're prepared to go to jail together, and like we're going to keep fighting until we win all of our rights. So there are some chairs up here. If people need to sit, please come sit. If you don't need to sit, please make sure that someone that does gets one of the chairs. All right, I'm going to use this one. So, welcome. Welcome to week 6. Week 6 of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for more revival. Good afternoon, Washington, D.C. Good afternoon, the National Mall of these United States. And good afternoon, that U.S. Capitol right over there to our side. So we are on week 6 of our 6 weeks, our 40 days of nonviolent moral fusion direct action. And today, in 33 states and here in Washington, D.C., moral witnesses are stepping forward. Stepping forward to build a nonviolent army of the poor. Stepping forward to challenge systemic racism, systemic poverty, militarism in the war economy, and ecological devastation. And stepping forward to challenge a distorted moral narrative. One put out by our politicians and leaders of faith. That claims that Jesus somehow was a card-carrying member of the NRA, that focuses on prayer in schools rather than equity in education, and that narrows in on abortion rights and marriage as the moral issues of our day, while neglecting issues like health care and the freedom to love who you love, and equal protection under the law, and living wages, and voting rights. Our moral witnesses are stepping forward to claim that what is at the heart and center of our sacred traditions, what is at the heart and center of our Constitution and founding documents, our love, our justice, and our community prosperity for all. We in the Poor People's Campaign believe that systemic racism, systemic poverty, the war economy, and ecological devastations are all interconnected. We know we cannot address any one of these issues without addressing all of them. We know we cannot undo systemic racism if people are left poor and homeless and without health care. We know that we cannot protect the earth and everything on it if militarism and war wreak havoc on our planet. We know that we can't say no to the violence of war when 250,000 people every year die from poverty, from low wealth, from the lack of living wages. And we know that we cannot pass a budget that puts people first if racist voter suppression steals people's votes, keeps people down, and rains the day. We know what we need to do, and that's to organize. That's to build a movement. That's to come together across all of the lines that divide us and unite into a powerful people's movement that can right the wrongs of this society. This is week 6, and we are just beginning. We keep coming back. In the first week, we stopped traffic in front of the U.S. Capitol. We cried out, "Somebody is hurting our people, and it has gone on far too long, and we won't be silent anymore." On week 2, we entered the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol. We drew connections between racist voter suppression and our impoverished democracy, one that lets people be separated from their families, one that cuts people's health care, cuts people's housing, and makes education into nothing. On the third week, we stood in the hall right in front of Senator McConnell's office in that Senate Russell building, and we committed there to studying war no more, to studying and having guns no more, to studying violence no more. And then week 4, we held a funeral for those who have died because of the lack of health care, for those who have died because of climate change and extreme storms and natural and very unnatural disasters. And we entered that rotunda once again with our demands to protect life, to defend life. And then last week, week 5, we marched and prayed and marched and prayed and prayed some more in front of the Supreme Court. We brought attention to the Supreme Court because yet another voter suppression law was upheld last week. Last week it was in Ohio. This morning it was in Wisconsin. And we know the connections between racist voter suppression and high poverty and low wages and the mistreatment of indigenous communities and the mistreatment of our immigrant brothers and sisters. And we also called out that Supreme Court because in the coming weeks, they're looking at Janus, an attack on the poor, an attack on working people. And we proclaim that an injury to one is an injury to all. And we're in week 6. We, this new and unsettling force, are in week 6. And this week, we're going to some of the federal agencies. Agencies that were set up to protect the people, to lift up the people, to ensure that we have housing and health care and a safe planet to live in. To ensure that there are social programs that lift everybody up. And that our society helps keep families together and not rip them apart. Not take kids away. Not take parents away. And not let hate and division seep into our national life. So on Mother's Day, we launched a movement, not a moment. And yesterday on Father's Day, we recognized those of us who have little or even nothing to lose in building that movement. We know that this movement will change the direction of the country. We know it will change the course of history. It will demonstrate the power of the poor, the power of moral leaders to right the wrongs of our society. It will show that when poor and dispossessed people come together, we are indeed a new and unsettling force in our complacent national life. So we want to hear from folks that are fighting on the front lines of this campaign. Folks that need housing. Folks that have been impacted by ecological devastation, so that we know why we march. So I want to bring up some of those folks. I want us to welcome to our stage today some powerful leaders in the Poor People's Campaign and National Call for Moral Revival. So I'm hoping that Catherine Murray, Jules Kessler, Alice Robinson, and Gregory Deer Jr. can all come up and each share one by one their stories with us. Poor People's Campaign.
A national call for moral revival.
Poor People's Campaign.
A national call for moral revival.
Poor People's Campaign.
A national call for moral revival.
Catherine Murray. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I am, me and Asar are a part of the organization called CUF, which means Churches United for Fair Housing. And, you know, I've been living in Brooklyn for my whole life, and it's coming to a point where housing is very limited. And, you know, New York is supposed to be where dreams are supposed to be made of, not taken away, and that's what it's coming to. It's coming to that point. And in Brooklyn, we stand up as one to overcome the change that is becoming a big issue. Growing up in the streets of Brooklyn, we become family. We stand up for each other. We stand up for one another as a community to fight for what we love. And the people of Brooklyn are being pushed out of their homes because of the higher rents in their neighborhood that leads to the residents that are being rapidly displaced.
That's right.
The proposed budget cuts against HUD are only going to contribute to the already growing housing crisis, not just in New York, but around the country. This is why I demand and am here in solidarity with the Poor People's Campaign, because housing is a moral right that everyone deserves.
What do we want? Housing. When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Housing.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Housing.
When do we want it?
Now.
If we don't get it, if we don't get it,
shut it down.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Catherine, for your words. If Jules Kessler would come join us. Oh, and as he comes, anyone that still needs Spanish interpretation, please come to this side of the stage.
How are y'all doing today? Today I'm joining you from Greenbrier County in southern West Virginia. And I'd like to tell you all a little bit about my beautiful state and the kind and resilient folks who live there. The people of West Virginia have a long history of being exploited, and the land has a long history of being abused and destroyed by wealthy outside corporations who have made enormous profits off the backs of the working class. Coal companies made enormous profit while creating company towns, so the workers had to rely on the company for every necessity, from housing to food, and while devastating the mountains and stripping them of their natural resources. Today, with the fading of the coal industry, outside corporations are again looking to strip our precious mountains of their natural resources. These profiting corporations have begun fracking for natural gas and building pipelines through our mountains and across our rivers to transport the fracked gas out of the state. Today, there are two pipelines being constructed in West Virginia, leaving scars across the sacred land. When just 2 weeks ago, a pipeline in Moundsville, West Virginia exploded, causing a blast and fire that could be seen for miles. That's immoral. Today, the citizens of Minden, West Virginia, and other communities across the state can't drink the water from the taps, and they've been demanding the assistance of the government, both state and local. That's immoral. It's shameful. But following the legacy of West Virginian organizing resistance, folks all across the state are standing up and demanding change. Because we are a new unsettling force. We are powerful. We are here. Forward together.
Not one step back.
Forward together.
Not one step back.
Forward together. If Alice Robinson would please join us.
I am here. Good evening, Washington, D.C. My name is Alice Robinson, and I am here from Dallas, Texas. I am the former president of the National Alliance of HUD Tenants and know firsthand the need for affordable housing. Trump's proposals to raise rents on vulnerable people is cruel. Trump's proposal to impose work requirements in order to get housing assistance will not eliminate poverty, but will increase homelessness.
Shame.
Trump's attempt to cut funding for housing while giving huge tax breaks to the wealthy is totally unacceptable. We stand with the Poor People's Campaign to call on the country to fight for poverty, yes, not the poor.
That's right.
Trump speak out about making America great. America has always been great. We do not have great leaders. Trump has continued to demonstrate a vengeance on housing that is a silent killer. Housing is not something that is chosen, but housing is a human right. Since you don't understand, Mr. Trump, why don't you meet with the NAT board and the Poor People's Campaign so we can explain it to you? Mr. Trump, we need you to do the right thing. We need you to do the right thing at the right time, which is now. Most of all, we need you to do the right thing at the right time and with the right motives. Thank you.
Housing is a human right. 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 human right.
Healthcare is a human right.
Healthcare is a human right.
Healthcare is a human right. So now I want to ask for Gregory Dear Jr. to share your words with us today.
Good afternoon, beloved. How are y'all? Housing is a human right. Housing is a human right. Housing is a human right. All right. Thank you. All right. I come from a family of Jamaican and Dominican immigrants who had a dream of a family home until the housing market crashed and swallowed my family into foreclosure. I was interning for Congressman Bobby Scott when my family received their notice, left devastated without a single support system in place to assist my family and make them feel safe in this country. Today, property owners are arming their neighborhood security, and classes owners are denying the most vulnerable people in housing, and those people are the recipients of housing choice voucher programs. With regards to children and people of color experiencing homelessness, 78.3% of those people are people of color. What is HUD doing? Bless my mother's heart, when she retired from the U.S. Navy after 20 years, she was diagnosed with PTSD and a condition that interrupts her sleep every single night. She watches my suffering as I seek to find jobs and encourages me to apply to housing services jobs. But I refuse to sell my soul, Mom. I refuse to sell my soul to a government and push papers for a government that pushes people into a circle of poverty. Housing is a human right. If this is a land of freedom, then this is a land of homes and of shelter. If you don't have a home, you don't have an address. No address, you can't vote. And if you can't vote, you don't have access to democracy. And if you're left out, then this democracy has already failed. While Ben Carson pretentiously contemplates expensive dining sets, civil rights languages for his own people was almost taken off of the table of priority, and a bullseye was placed on the backs of minorities. He almost pulled back a rule that requires cities and towns receiving federal funding to examine local housing patterns of racial bias. They are watching innocent people die and fight to live, and we cannot, will not tolerate oppression anymore. In the name of the Almighty God, we will rise up. Know your rights and know your fair share of this dream of freedom that's promoted throughout the country. And together, after me, what do we want? Housing. When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Housing.
When do we want it?
Now.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
Now my last question to you is, when housing rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up like that.
Thank you.
All right. So let's give it up for our powerful testifiers. Let everybody know that they're loved, that they're heard, and that we're going to keep on fighting till we win everyone's rights. So we want to pause for a second and turn on a song, Revolution, because we got to have a little fun. We got to make our voices heard. We got to get the people that are around this place coming to join our movement. So take a couple minutes. Folks, that we do. So now we want to invite some of the moral leaders that have been sticking with this campaign, building this campaign, calling forward for a campaign. So I invite to the stage Rabbi Rick Jacobs from the Union of Reform Judaism and Reverend Dr. Anika Whitfield out of Arkansas. And if y'all could stand together, because we stand together, that would be great.
Good afternoon. My name is Rabbi Rick Jacobs. It is my honor to lead the Reformed Jewish movement here in North America. Almost 2 million people standing strong today. Honored to be part of this Poor People's Campaign, a campaign that unites us across every possible division and gives us strength and power in this world to make sure that we can not only stand with the poor and to unlock the fetters of wickedness and injustice and to let the oppressed go free and to create a world of justice, wholeness, and compassion. Now, like you, I've been hearing a lot of talk this week about the Bible and public policy. Seems like a lot of folks leading our country didn't pay attention in Sunday school, especially our Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. Now, he tried to tell us that the Bible supports this administration's draconian policy to separate parents and children at our nation's borders. But you can't twist the good book's teachings to support cruel policies. I'm sorry, Attorney General Sessions, but Leviticus's injunction to love the stranger cannot be twisted to mean you shall hate refugee children. Deuteronomy's commandment, do not shut your hand against your poor, can't be twisted to mean you shall afflict the poor. Exodus's admonition, you shall not oppress the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt, can't be twisted to be heartless and cruel to the most vulnerable in your midst. Now, the book of Numbers in the Hebrew Bible describes the journey of the ancient Israelites as they made their way through the desert, a hot desert, a desert where there was not enough water, not clean water. And they had in that journey a fear that they would leave people behind. So one tribe, the tribe of Dan, was charged with going in the back of the procession, making sure no one, not the most vulnerable, not the orphan or the widow or the infirm, would be left behind. They were called Hamaseph, those that gathered everyone up and took them with us on that journey. The Poor People's Campaign, we have carried the job of the tribe of Dan. We together are Hamaseph. We must gather up those Americans who would otherwise be left behind, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the physically challenged, the immigrant, and so many more. And we're here today to raise our voices and to call out the shameful, distorted moral narrative we are seeing all around us. Yes. Our moral narrative is distorted when families are separated at the borders, infants taken from their mother's arms, as our Attorney General cites some scripture that he misinterprets to justify the abuse. Rather, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. Our Lady Liberty proclaims to the persecuted of the world, we are a nation of immigrants, and that is our strength. Our moral narrative is distorted when 2.2 million people languish in America's prisons and jails, and black men are, on average, 6 times as likely as white men to be incarcerated. We know that is not justice. And our moral narrative is distorted when some states, including Florida, continue to deny people the right to vote even after they've completed serving a felony sentence, while other states, like Ohio, purge their voter rolls. Our democracy is for all Americans, not a few. That is our work, and that's why the Reformed Jewish Movement is also, besides joining with this Poor People's Campaign, we've launched our own campaign for civil engagement to protect the right to vote. And we must stop blaming the poor and call out poverty and injustice. 51 years ago, Dr. King called people of conscience to join people in the Poor People's Campaign, but it's taken us a while to get it. But here we are today. And let's stand together for an America where human and civil rights are for all, not some. Where justice is for all, not some. Where prosperity is for all, not some. Where health care and quality education are for all, not some. The God I love and that you love is impatient with injustice, and the God I love commands us to stand against discrimination, white supremacy, anti-Semitism, all the hatreds and systemic racism, against homophobia, transphobia, xenophobia. Together we can, we will change the moral narrative of our great country. We stand here together today for the human rights of the vulnerable, the forgotten, committed to be in our time, in this place, the biblical Me'asef, protesting, lifting up, rising up, and empowering all those being neglected and harmed by policies that betray our core values as a country. Forward together.
Not one step back.
Thank you, Rabbi.
I want to thank Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris and Reverend Dr. William Barber for leading this Poor People's Campaign, a national call for more revival. I want to thank all of the national leaders and state leaders and organizers who have been working so tirelessly to lift up justice and to love mercy. We have to do this in our nation, and I want to ask us to consider a pledge of allegiance to love and to loving ourselves and our neighbors, and to love all creation upon which we depend. One creation under God, seeking liberty, upholding justice and mercy for all. America has been far too comfortable for far too long. We have continued to allow people who have been elected and those who have bought their way into positions of power to treat people who are indigenous to this land, people of color, people who are living in poverty, people who are physically, mentally, and emotionally disabled by birth, by traumatic injury, and by wars, people who identify as LGBTQ, people who are unable to afford health care and wellness care, and people who have been victims of poisonous byproducts of greed and irreverence that permeate the air, the water, the soil, as if we were commodities and not human beings. America, we have been too comfortable watching and not stopping the need for news reports about human trafficking of innocent children and adults. This has gone on far too long. America, we have become too comfortable watching and not stopping families from being divided by cages of injustice and oppression. This has gone on far too long. America, we have gotten too comfortable warehousing innocent children, teenagers, and adults who we have forced to become victims of inhumane practices of systemic poverty, systemic racism, the war economy, ecological devastation, and false immoral narratives. This has gone on
far too long.
America, we have become too comfortable watching innocent children and adults being gunned down in school and in houses of faith, houses that we enjoy, clubhouses and concert houses, and even in their own houses.
than buying guns and ammunition. We will start holding elected officials accountable to serving the needs and best interests of all disabled and able-bodied people. We are a new and unsettling force, and we are powerful. We are a new and unsettling force, and we're here. We're a new unsettling force for liberation, and we've got nothing to lose but our chains.
Those are powerful words we just heard from all of our testifiers and speakers. We are going to lift up our voices now, giving back to them that energy that they have put out for us. If you are able, I'll ask you to stand. We are going to a few places today, as already was said. We're going to be going down to the HUD office. We're going to be going down to the EPA. We're going to be going down to the HHS, Health and Human Services. We have some signs that people are going to follow in a moment, noting that everybody has a right to live. Everybody has a right to housing. Everybody has a right to health. Everybody has a right to breathe. So we need to sing that loud today while we're out there. So we need to get you warmed up in here, all right? You're probably already warm, but get the vocal cords warm, okay? All right. All right, so you know this one we've been singing it all 6 weeks. I want to hear you nice and loud this morning, this afternoon. Here we go.
Everybody's got a right.
Let me get loud.
Live.
Washington
and went to the places of power and said, we demand housing.
That's right. That's right.
We demand health care. We demand that you take away our poverty, not our children. We demand clean air and clean water and a brilliant, abundant earth to live on.
Yes.
And so, we are standing on some great shoulders, and we are ready to make our voices heard.
That's right, that's right.
Clinton is going to explain how this action is going to go, but we are going to be strong and loud, and we are going to unsettle, disrupt,
that's
and
right.
build a nonviolent, intergenerational,
that's right.
multiracial army of the poor.
That's right.
So listen to some instruction and get ready to march.
Awesome, y'all. So before I give directions, I know that earlier today there were a few folks who were identified as banner carriers, and you have banners for your particular location that you're going to. If you could please take your banner and head out to the gravel right now, please, ahead of everyone else, so that you're with your location. If you could take your banner, not the flags, not posters, but banners. All right, one mic, y'all, so we can all hear. If everybody could listen up here, that'd be great. We are going to three different locations today. Who's ready to take action today? I'm not sure I believe you. There are 140 million poor people in this country, 250,000 of them that die every year because of these institutions and the oppressions that they intermesh together in their offices. Who's ready to take action at these offices today? I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it yet. Who's ready to take action at these offices today? I think maybe we're almost ready. Who's ready to take action today? That's right, that's right. So we're going to three places. If you could say EPA.
EPA.
Green.
Green.
If you could say HHS.
HHS.
Orange.
Orange.
If you could say HUD.
HUD.
Yellow.
Yellow.
Great. So in a minute, we're going to head out by institution that we're going to. And I said those colors because I want you to be able to find the flags that are on tall poles in those colors that indicate where you should go. So the first in our march lineup, and when we get out to the gravel, we are going to line up two by two. Everybody say two by two.
Two by two.
And those of you with armbands on today that are participating in the action, you should be first in line at your institution's flag, two by two. So, those of you with armbands that are going to the EPA, will you please make your way to the green flag? Those of you with orange armbands that are going to HHS, if you will make your way to the flag two by two. Those of you who are going to HUD and have yellow armbands, if you will make your way to the yellow flag. Let's give them all a round of applause, y'all. They're putting their bodies on the line today. All right, if you, I'm gonna give them just a few more seconds to get out there. Marshals, if you could go over near the flags and help people line up two by two, that would be great. Marshals, over to the flags. If you're going to the EPA, please line up two by two behind the green flag. If you're going to the EPA. If you are going to HHS, if you will line up behind the orange flag, please. And if you are going to HUD, if you will line up behind the yellow flag, please. Two by two. We are all of us leaving the tent and making our way over to make two by two lines. No one should be left in the tent. We're all going to action today. Thank you.
Clinton. go far and wide. Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
Thank you. body too.
Everybody's got a right to help. Everybody's got a right to help. Everybody's got a right to help.
Far too long. Far too long. Far too long.
Silent anymore. Silent march from here. So focus your hearts and minds, keep your signs up as we get into this moment. There'll be an opportunity for everyone to follow the leadership of the Lawrence Fence. And we're going to get into your flag. Hey, we are going to need a few folks to help unload. You would just give us your hand to Margaret. Right?
Yeah.
Margaret, a car will be nearby that will just need to just jump in. Everyone's party moving now.
Yes.
Hi, Commander Grohman, Homeland Security. We wanted to deliver a letter.
That's right, we want
to. Now, I will pass that on to them.
Great.
We're Homeland, we're not part of HHS.
Right.
So I will see if I can get somebody.
Is there someone from HHS?
Do you have any idea how long you plan to be here?
We're going to be here until we're able to, both deliver that letter, but then also make it known that we need single-payer universal health here, that we need protection of and not separation of children.
Okay, I need you guys to be on the outside of the bowler because I've got cars coming through here.
Through here, where? Through here? So you need us to be...
Yeah, on the outside of the bowler.
But we're hoping to be able to go into the building.
No, they're not going to let you in, ma'am. I'm sorry. So if you guys can be on the other side of the bowler because cars are coming in through here.
What you're saying, on the other side of this?
Well, if you're on the other side of that, you're okay.
But I'm not understanding what you're saying, we can't be.
I got cars coming through here, so I don't time.
So can we go over that way towards those fences then?
On this side. Back over here. Those cars are going to be coming through here. I don't want anybody to get hit. Plus your permit.
Right.
Yeah. This is also federal property, and the permit from the city doesn't cover this area.
Yeah, okay.
So
mostly we'll go with Liz. Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, she would have to move out of the way.
Yeah, that's Rabbi Jacobs, exactly.
Okay, why don't you just stand by here a minute? If you stand by here a minute, I'll pass on about having somebody come and take care of you.
Okay.
And if you would have the people kind of move back out of the way.
Okay. Can we leave our signs here?
You could bring them in. All right.
to Rabbi Jacobs. So this is, I'm going to pass this on to you. This is, these are the demands and the facts about here that are connected to our campaign. And y'all. This is the entrance, yeah. And so we can start letting people know. We're here in front of the Department of Health and Human Services because there are unjust policies coming down that are cutting people off of health care, taking kids away from their families, and making it hard to get by and live. And so we have faith leaders, impacted folks that are here to bring our demands to the Department of Health and Human Services. We have a message to take away our poverty, not our children, to keep our families together, to bring about single-payer health care, to bring about all the services that people need to thrive, not just survive. And we see the connections between the services that this department, that this agency is supposed to provide for the people of this country, and yet people are living in deep, deep poverty. There are 140 million poor people in this country. 38 million children living in poverty.
That's not right.
There are more than 20 million elders who are living in poverty in this rich nation.
Not okay.
And we know that programs like Head Start, programs like Medicaid, they work. They help lift people.
Yes, yes.
And we need for life and life abundant for everybody. And so I want to introduce Rabbi Rick Jacobs, the president of the Union of Reformed Judaism, who is here today with people here at the Department of Health and Human Services. There are people at the Housing and Urban Development. There are folks at the Environmental Protection Agency, because we are saying to our government agencies that we have to put people first. So, Rabbi Jacobs.
Thank you, Reverend Liz. We are spread out all across the United States because our voice is strong today. And our voice is calling out that 250,000 people die every year because they are poor. It's a country whose job, whose sacred obligation is to care for all the people, and this HHS is charged with that work, but is falling so far short that death is the result, not just inconvenience, but truly afflicting. And when we see the face of poverty in this country, it's the face of this campaign, this poor people's campaign. 23 million black people, 6% are poor in income, low income. 37 million Latino people are poor and low income. 66 million white people are poor and low income. This is a unity of pain. This is a unity of policy that afflicts and harms. And we're here today to say we will not be silent. We will not simply watch and listen. We will stand up and speak out, and our voices and our coalition is powerful this day. And we're here, and we're not just going to stand outside. We want those who inside who are setting policy, particularly thinking about families on the border of this country.
Yes.
What That's in right. the world could people be thinking, nothing that actually our country is made of, to separate children, babies from their parents?
That's, right.
That's not a moral vision. That's not right. policy that anyone should stand up for. And we are calling out this government, the leaders who are insensitive and unwilling to bear the responsibility to care for all the people, not some of the people, but all the people.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
HHS is currently holding 11,000 children.
Shame.
11,000 children are being held by this agency, separated from their families.
Shame.
And those children need to be with their families.
Yes.
And those children need health care.
Yes.
And those children need services to bring all of us out of poverty.
Yes.
So we
So we are here. We are here. We are people with insurance and without insurance. We are people with money and without money. We are here because drug overdose is the leading cause of death among people under 50. But that last year, we spent $7.5 billion on prisons and very little on drug programs. Even after the Affordable Care Act, expansion of healthcare coverage, there are still 32 million people without healthcare. 40% of us have taken on debt because of medical issues. In fact, I think as people here know, medical debt is the number one cause for personal bankruptcy. We have the power to change this. We have the power to say healthcare for all. Social services for all. Housing for all.
Housing for all.
A good life for all.
Life for all.
Effective programs like Head Start reach only half of poor preschoolers because of the lack of funding. 50 years ago, when Dr. King and others launched a Poor People's Campaign, they came here to demand the expansion of Head Start. Today, we're here to say half is not enough.
That's right. That's right.
If one in two, if my two kids need childcare, if my two kids need Head Start, which one of them is going to get it?
Both should.
Everybody deserves life.
Yes.
Everybody deserves the services that we need. What do we want? Health care. When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Health care.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Health care.
When do we want it?
Now.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
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 What do we want?
Health
poverty
care.
Programs. When do we want them?
Now.
What do we want? Poverty programs. When do we want them?
Now.
What do we want?
Poverty programs.
When do we want them?
Now.
What do we want?
Poverty programs.
When do we want them?
Now.
If we don't get them,
shut it down.
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 What do we want? Families together. When do we want them?
Now.
What do we want?
Families together.
When do we want them?
Now.
What do we want?
Families together.
When do we want them?
Now.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
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 What do we want? Immigrant rights. When do we want them?
Now.
What do we want?
Immigrant rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Immigrant rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
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 Let's hear it for us. Yeah. So we want to have the children that are with us, who are helping to lead this movement, share a song with us here at the Department of Health and Human Services.
Everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
What justice is.
What justice is.
Everybody ought to know.
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 What freedom is.
What freedom is.
Everybody ought to know.
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 What unity is.
What unity is.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Services. And we've been told we cannot go in.
Shame.
Shame.
And so we know that people need health care. We know that people need to be lifted out of poverty. We know that families need to be united together and reunited together. So I'm going to turn it over to Margaret from Physicians for a National Health Plan to talk about what we're going to do right now.
Here we go. All right.
Great. Thank you so much, Liz. So it's clear that the Department of Health and Human Services is not welcoming to us, does not want to hear from us, does not represent us. Yep. And so we're going to build our own Department of Health and Human Services right in front of here. We call it the People's Department of Health and Human Services. And everyone is welcome there. Yeah. The doors say come in. So we have some boxes that we're going to use to build that. Some of the boxes already say something on them. If you see one that resonates with you, pick that out. Others are blank, and we have magic markers over there, and so you can write, what do you want the People's Department of Health and Human Services to support? What do you want it to do? Write that on there, and then I also invite people, if they want to speak out about why they are writing or why they chose the box that they are choosing. I need a few people to help with taping, and I have some construction hats, if anybody wants to have fun while we build this, too. Thanks.
I'll take this with you over there.
I can, is that?
Yeah, good.
Okay. All right, let's go do it. You want to build up there? Okay, all right. So we're starting with the door.
What do we want? Healthcare.
I'm going in front of you, sorry.
I got a fist in the air.
All right, don't be shy. Keep on the wall.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, who wants to pick the first box? Let's pick a box that has something written on it, or else write something on it.
All right, everyone, so we're going to build the People's HHS now. If you come over, find a box, we're going to build it right here so it can, those up in their offices and they see who don't want to come down can see what People's HHS look like.
So everyone over here, if you can come on over, get in, find a box, and then come tell us why you're doing it.
No profits in healthcare, because for profit healthcare means having to improvise repairs on my own body.
Yeah, all right.
Man, well.
Organic food for everyone, because everyone deserves healthy, wholesome, nutritious food. Everybody. Yeah. Free child care. Every child deserves good care, and every parent deserves help with their children.
Yeah.
Universal single-payer health care, because people deserve health care instead of profits.
Yeah.
Woo! Yes.
Affordable, healthy food, because every religious tradition teaches that everyone deserves affordable, healthy food.
Yeah.
Yes.
All
right, let's get them. What is the
Stay back. All right. There's one time we won't go forward together. All right, as people come up, are we going to build to the side or are we going straight up? All right, sir.
Keeping families together, because ripping children from their parents is state-sponsored torture and it needs to stop.
All right. We know that HHS is responsible for building the cages that children are being put in at the border right now.
Shame! Shame!
Don't privatize the VA. Let's take care of our 39,000 homeless vets that are roaming the streets. And by the way, why are our troops being misused by guarding the border? The National Guard doesn't belong there. Mexico's not a threat. So let's stop these wars. Stop taking money from our people here that deserve it in social services. And stop those endless wars. Bring our troops home now so we can take care of them when they get home.
Amen. We also know that 20 veterans commit suicide each day.
20?
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
Substance abuse treatment on demand. Substance abuse is an illness, a disease that should be treated and not criminalized. It's an issue that should be humanized. And when you understand what we contend with in this world, it's understandable why so many people try to escape the injustices and the inequities that they have to endure. So rather than continuing to penalize those who are suffering, again, it should be humanized, and substance abuse treatment should be made available when? On demand. Demand.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I'm adding universal basic income because just think about it. If we all didn't have to worry about meeting our very basic needs, think about the kinds of communities we could create. Yeah. Think about the time we could spend building with our neighbors, building safety, meeting in community, getting creative, finding solutions to problems in the world, instead of worrying about our next paycheck.
Yeah. We've seen a decades-long attack on the social safety nets in this country. In 1979, 8 out of 10 poor families received benefits for TANF. And today, guess how many receive those benefits? 2 out of 10.
Yeah. Anyone else?
This is supposed to be a democracy. How many people here believe this is a democracy? The Princeton study showed it is not a democracy. This is not government of, by, and for the people. It's government of, by, and for the 0.001% richest people. And to hell with the rest of us. They don't care about us. They don't care if they make their profits, if the rest of us die in the streets. So we got to turn this thing around. This is a mess. Our constitutional right, the Bill of Rights, says that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if we can't afford health care, that deprives us of our right to happiness, that deprives us of our right to life itself. This has got to stop. Together, we are going to stop this travesty of justice. We're going to get health care for all like we all deserve. We're going to get housing for all like we all deserve. Okay?
All right.
Yes.
We're going to get for everybody, like we all deserve, okay?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, let's do it now.
Right.
Hello, I chose Health as a Human Right. I'm here because I'm a hospital chaplain, and I've seen too many people come in way later than they should have because they are worried about debt. They are worried about the kind of treatment that they're going to get. I've seen people's health decline because certain insurances didn't cover medications, and so they had to use other ones and had bad reactions. And I've seen too many people turn right out of the hospital, out of the psych ward, onto the street.
Right.
And the reason they're on the street in the first place is because of medical debt in a lot of ways. So I'm here because this needs to change. Healthcare is a human right. We are created in the image of God, and that means that we are created to flourish.
Yes, yes.
So are we here because we spend too little on healthcare?
No.
No, we spend more on healthcare than any other developed or in rich country in the world. We still have the worst healthcare system.
Hi, I'm here because this country was built on by immigrants, and it's supposed to be we the people, but what is it we the people, and we can't afford healthcare or housing? I work for the health industry, And I know firsthand in fact that health quotes a monthly basis run from $1,000 to $1,200 for people who are 50 and up. Their retirement is around that same. How can you live on affordable housing and afford your health care premium for $1,000? And then you have these people who gave work for the government and gave all their lives for the government, and yet here are having a monthly quote of $1,200 for health care. How come we are giving Israel $10 million a day? They have free health care, but America doesn't have free health care. I don't understand that. This, we need to take the power away from the government and give it to its people. We support them. We need to, they need to do what we say. So I say we need health care and housing for free. It should be a basic human right.
Right. We have a health care system that's not about creating health care, but about consolidating money in the hands of the rich. That's the whole point of the system, is to get money from the people into just a few hands. Come on.
My name is Pat Albright. I'm here today because I'm a former welfare recipient, and I'm here to say that every mother is a working mother.
That's right.
And yet, if you're on welfare especially, you're treated as if you're a moocher, scrounger, criminal. And we're here to say, as mothers and caregivers, that work entitles us to support, and that we should have all the resources we need to raise our children. In fact, and also on the other side of my box, say that we deserve a living wage from mothers and other caregivers.
Yeah, we do. Yes.
Come on, let's go. Plenty more boxes to write on, y'all. I want to add mental health care, parity, equity, and justice. I'm one in four Americans who's been diagnosed with a mental health condition in my life. I left the hospital after going to seek treatment for a disorder that I have through no fault of my own, and was left $80,000 in medical debt because of my time in the hospital. That kind of debt, that kind of cost is absolutely devastating to people. It's absolutely devastating to families. Mental health is health, and we have to be including mental health in our healthcare system in a way that is just and is equitable, and that prevents the sort of chronic homelessness and the sort of mass incarceration that stood in as a substitute for a working mental healthcare system in this country for far too long.
I added compliance with Americans with Disabilities Act. Yeah. The ADA has been law in the United States for decades, and there are still public buildings, public resources that are not accessible to those with disabilities. It's not a partisan issue. It's something that has been law for decades in the United States, and many of our public buildings, public services, public transportation, universities, and other places of learning that receive federal and public funding are not compliant with the ADA, and provisions need to be made to get them up to code and to get them in compliance with what is already a law for Americans with disabilities. One of the largest groups in the United States of America are Americans with disabilities, and we need ADA compliance.
Addiction is a disease, not a crime, is what my box says, because I am sick and tired of seeing the potential of the youth of our country being locked away instead of treated for something that is not their fault. We're losing our young people to the criminal injustice system.
That's right.
To raise the poverty threshold, because there are too many people who cannot afford food, cannot afford shelter, and certainly cannot afford to get sick, but they make too much money for public assistance and support. So we need to raise the poverty threshold.
All right. What is it? Someone has it. If you make $25,100 to $101 with a family of four, you're not poor in this country. It's something like $12,000 if you're an individual.
That ain't right.
Mental health care treatment on demand. And stop putting people in jail for being mentally ill, having mental diseases.
definitely unnecessary. We are created for relationship and community, and if there's a genuine commitment to rehabilitation, then we would not separate people, but rather we would create programs where socialization can take place as well as rehabilitation. Stop solitary confinement now. And what we also realize is that we have a system of injustice, not a system of justice. And we demand justice now.
Yeah. We certainly invite the spirit of our brother, Khalif Browder, put in solitary confinement before he was even 18 years old. And once he got out, under medication, took his own life, died from suicide. We know that solitary confinement is nothing less than torture.
Shame. That's right.
Staff working hospitals, no matter where you live, no matter your zip code or your city or your state, you should be entitled to quality health care. Yes. Yeah.
All right, we got plenty more boxes, y'all. We got built this HHS. Grab one, come on up. The Poor People's Campaign, we got time for everyone.
I'll come over there.
So therefore, we are demanding here fully funded welfare programs for the poor and an end to the attacks on SNAP, HEAP, and other vital programs for the poor. Forward together. We're calling for the expansion of Medicaid in every state and the protection of Medicare and single-payer universal health care for all. Forward together. Calling for fully funded public resources and access to mental health professionals and addiction and recovery programs. Forward together. Calling for equal treatment, accessible housing, health care, public transportation, adequate income and services for people with disabilities. Forward together. Calling the nation and our lawmakers to turn their immediate attention to passing policies and budget allocations that would end child poverty. This includes a public hearing on the federal and state institutions charged with child safety and protection, including on how their resources are used to take children away rather than strengthening families. Forward together. We're calling for the immediate repeal of the 2017 federal tax law and the reinvestment of those funds into public programs for housing, health care, education, jobs, infrastructure, and welfare for the poor. Forward together. We need a budget that promotes the general welfare. Forward together. And we got a second slide. This is called the People's PowerPoint. We read it. You see the statistics up top, the bottom, that 10,002 people died while waiting for a judge's decision about their disability benefits application in 2017. Forward together.
Not one step back.
2016, 43% of adults with health insurance struggled to pay their deductibles. Nearly 30% had a hard time affording medical bills. And 73% cut back on basic household needs and food to pay their medical bills. Forward together.
Not one step back.
Medical debt is the number one cause of personal bankruptcy. Forward together.
Not one step back.
U.S. spends more per capita on health care than any other country at approximately $10,348 per person per year. Forward together.
Not one step back.
We have 20 veterans die by suicide every day. Forward together.
Not one step back.
As said before, 8 out of 10 poor families with children received AFDC benefits in 1979. 3 years ago, that number had dropped all the way to 2 in 10 families receiving TANF benefits. Forward together.
Not one step back.
We know that in all but 3 states, the benefits have declined over the past 20 years. What are they not doing? Forward together.
Not one step back.
250,000 people die each year because of poverty and low wealth. Thank you. We have some more focus boxes. Come on.
Thank you.
So reproductive health care is a human right, and all individuals need access to affordable health care that includes comprehensive reproductive care.
Inmates are American citizens. They deserve the same health care as every other American. That's right. That's right. All right. While y'all are writing, we're going to go into a song where there's a beautiful, wow, that's gorgeous. HHS is being built. Can we give it up for Sister Sharon, who has been leading us with her beautiful voice and great spirit.
Alright, y'all. We see in this box is how folks are hurting around this country. So we're going to say, we're not going to be silent about that anymore. Somebody's hurting our people. And we're going to raise our voices and say, not anymore, not on our watch.
Somebody's hurting our people, and it's gone on far too long. Oh yes, it's gone on far too long. I tell you, it's gone on far too long. Oh, somebody's hurting our people, and it's gone on far too long. And we won't be silent anymore.
It's gone on.
Let's give it up for the people's architects over here who are building our people's HHS. Yeah. Oh, we got a few here. All right.
So, of course, you already have housing as your human right, but there's another phrase I want to use, housing not handcuffed. A lot of ordinances in this city criminalize poor just for being that. So also not just housing is a human right, but housing not handcuffed stops criminalizing.
We know that capital punishment is for those who don't have any capital. And certainly jails in our nation's capitals for those who don't have any capital. We have crimes of poverty, crimes of being poor that put people in jails right here where we are. I saw a few other boxes. Come on.
Hey everyone, my name is Jair Carrasco. The thing that I wrote in my box is improved and accessible healthcare for all Native Americans. As you know, in reservations, health statuses are really poor. At some places, it takes about 2 hours for the ambulance to get there. In one case, women have to wait to make cesarean sections time it out at least like a couple months in advance of the pregnancy rather than just go to the hospital when they go in labor. So these are just one of the many things that Indian country has to go through. And so this is why I wrote that on the box, to represent them and represent my people. And I'm here with you standing in solidarity. We call for justice for all colored people, all white people, all yellow people, all people. Together we have the power to make the change. And I'm glad to see everyone here, all different colors here, united. I'm glad to see this wall of many different issues that need to be brought up and many rights that we need to demand. So I thank you for your time.
Yeah. All right. So we know we have the Apache Stronghold is doing a caravan across the country right now to join us on Saturday, the 23rd. We'll be at our place on the mall every day this week doing teach-ins. We hope everyone comes and is able to teach in. We invite the spirit of Audre Lorde. We always say that we can't do single issue activism because we don't live single issue lives, right? Each of us has multiple, we are multiple. I think Clinton may have coined a new one today, that we're intermeshed in his directions, that we have intersecting issues and that we can't just deal with one of them at a time. So do anyone else have, we have a few more boxes. We need to get up on this wall. Those who, I don't know if y'all have other plans, but anyone else?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Kevin Zeese. I'm with Popular Resistance. We have a campaign called Help Over Profit for Everyone. And this vision that you've all helped to build here today is within reach. We can make this happen. We work on healthcare. It's one of the issues we work on every day. We work on economic, racial, and environmental justice, ending imperialism, and ending war. I can tell you on the healthcare front, we're reaching super majority power. What that means is that right now, more than 65% support a national approved Medicare for all. Among Democrats, it's over 85%. And the whole population is looking for a national consensus on it. Because the danger from healthcare is moving now. So
a small group of it by the name of the secretary. We have very important demands.
No, this your point of contact, sir.
I'm waiting on somebody to come out. You're one of the gentlemen that's going to deliver the letter.
Yes, but we'd like to go in and actually deliver it.
They're not going to deliver it.
clockwise out because they're not, we represent tens of millions of people.
I know.
And we have a right as citizens to express what are simply very, very compelling moral demands from this incredible agency.
You can do that here all day, but they're not.
We can, but it's not going to change what happens.
I'm sorry, sir. They're not going to let you mention it. Okay, it's illegal in the federal building with regulations to have protest rallies inside of the federal.
We're not. We are simply going in to express views. Is that somehow undemocratic or un-American?
It's not a matter of whether it's democratic. You can't have protest rallies.
It's not a protest rally. We want to simply
any kind of demonstration rally.
What's the difference between a demonstration and a meeting? We simply want a meeting. We want the
if they had agreed, had set up a meeting with you, that would be different.
Excuse me. This is a crisis.
These are the United States of America. We can do anything.
I know that.
We can leave our signs out here at the rally. The protest is out here.
They're not
what we want to do, you know, it's our taxes that pay your salary, that pay for this building and everything.
I'm aware. They're not going to be with you inside.
This should be our building. Our taxes pay for it.
I'm not going to allow you in to meet them.
Sir, can I ask you something? Do you think they'd be open to meeting with a few clergy people?
What I'm waiting on is an official from the agency to come out to meet with you, take your letter or petition, whatever it is you want to present. They're working on doing that, but they're not going to have you come out to meet.
Why won't they let clergy in?
Any group rally, whatever. DAP was here a couple weeks ago, same deal. They met with them, came outside, talked to some of the people. That's standard for government buildings.
But you can't just go in and have a meeting.
Since 1998,
there have been
5,712
major oil and gas leaks,
or ruptures
on U.S. pipelines,
causing
307
fatalities.
307 fatalities.
The Deepwater Horizon oil spill.
Accounted for
95%
of oil spilled.
In the past 50 years.
The Department of Defense accounted for more than 70%.
Living
song maybe, right? All right. What's a good one?
Yes, we have 10. Evan Levy. I'm not with Friends of the Earth, but I'm a friend of Friends of the Earth. They're wonderful people. I'm glad to be sitting here with y'all. I'm registered here at University of Maryland. I've been in D.C. for a couple of years, but I'm originally from Michigan. And I'm sure y'all know what's been going on in Flint.
Yes.
Right? They're doubling down on their environmental criminality. Now, when we talk about Flint, you know, we're not just talking about the water. You know, we gotta wonder, how do we get to a place where an entire city, and let's be honest, the majority African-American city, got to a place where its water can be poisoned, and the state governor of Michigan, Governor Snyder, thinks, yeah, that's cool. No problem. No, what we're looking at, you know, we're looking at a long-term trend of structural change in which good-paying jobs that people had living wages, have moved, right? They moved down to places not necessarily even abroad, right? They're moving down to the South because there are no unions there, right? This tells us how important it is for folks to get unionized. Because we have power together, right? We create some balance with the capitalists. We can make this world just a little bit more fair. Even if we are overturning capitalism, we can make it a little bit more fair, right? And what's happened now in Michigan, across the Rust Belt, white folks have moved out, leaving just pockets of African-American poverty. Flint didn't used to be a majority African-American city. It was for a long time. You know, it has been for a long time, but it's just been left, abandoned. And, you know, Detroit's the same, Benton Harbor's the same. We can go on and on with the industrial towns in Michigan. And it is a product of white supremacy, just really the government not caring, not giving a damn about citizens because they think they can. You know, so when we talk about the environment, we talk about poison water, we're not just talking about water, right? We're talking about jobs, we're talking about unions, we're talking about health care, we're talking about white supremacy and racism, we're talking about voting rights and political power, and the ability for all of us to stand together to make this a better place, right? So, you know, like I said, I'm thrilled to be here with you all, thrilled to be here with Friends of the Earth, what a great group. And here we go, man, let's change this.
Thank you.
Never, never can you see,
never can you see,
what he has done to me,
what he has done to me.
They keep trying to bring us down. They keep trying to bring us down.
They keep trying to bring us down.
So we're gonna stand our ground.
So we're gonna stand our ground.
Justice is served. We are in front
of the Department of Justice. But is there much justice coming out of these halls? Is there much peace coming out of these halls? Is there much equality coming out of these halls? We have been to the Environmental Protection Agency. And is there the protection of the environment and of the people living in it coming out of there?
No!
We have been to the Housing and Urban Development Department. And is there housing and the development of people to their fullest potential coming out of there?
No!
We have been to the Department of Health and Human Services.
That's right.
And is this country healthy?
No!
Are people getting services?
No!
And do we need to rise up?
Yes!
Do we need to say, the United States, be true to what you put on paper?
Yes!
Do we need to say to our sacred traditions that life is sacred?
Yes!
That all are welcome?
Yes!
And that we must come together?
That's right.
So we indeed are a new and unsettling force.
Yes.
We are powerful.
Yes.
We are a force for liberation.
Yes.
And we have nothing to lose but our chains.
Yes.
So did you know that there are 140 million people who are poor in this country? Did you know that there are 32 million people in this country who do not have health care? Did you know that there are 38 million children who go to bed hungry every night in a country that throws away more food that could feed every person in this country and this world? Do you know that we spend 53 cents of every dollar on the military, but only 15 cents on programs of social uplift? And that we have money going into prisons, money going into detention centers, money going to lock people up and not lift people up.
Shut down the prison industrial complex.
So we are a people who have demands. And we demand justice.
Yes.
We demand an end to a Department of Injustice that incarcerates people of color and the poor at incredibly high rates. We demand that families need to be reunited and united. No more separation of families. No more attacking immigrants. No more pitting us against each other. We demand single-payer, universal health care. We demand living wage jobs starting at $15 an hour and the right to join and form unions. We demand clean water, affordable water, because water is life. And we demand a budget that prioritizes life, prioritizes children, prioritizes families of all types, prioritizes people. Here we are laying out our banners with messages that says that we have the right to health, that we have the right to a healthy planet, that everybody has the right to environmental protection, that everybody has the right to live. We have been crying out that somebody is hurting our people. Somebody is hurting our children. Somebody is hurting our neighbor. the immigrant, the child, the grandmother, the prisoner, and it has gone on for far too long, and we won't be silent anymore. I want to introduce Rabbi Rick Jacobs, who is joining us as the president of the Union of Reform Judaism. He has some words to share with us in front of this Department of Justice. Okay. But before that, we have a word from the co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival.
You got it? I don't know if it's going to go through that.
Can you hear me?
That ain't going to work like that.
All right, you say stuff and I'm going to repeat it, okay? So just imagine that I'm Reverend Barber. Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm calling you from Liverpool, England. I'm here with the UNI Global Labor Conference. ...130 countries have gathered. Over 2,500 delegates. They wanted me to call Reverend Liz... ...and every one of you... to tell you that the international community from around the world joins the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. They will join us in different acts of solidarity this coming Saturday. And they understand clearly that people around the world, especially the poor, and moral leaders, must take on racism, poverty, ecological devastation, and militarism. And we must challenge autocrats who want to destroy the fundamentals of our democracy. We must take on white nationalism and fascism. Whether it be in Italy, Sweden, or the United States. The international community said, it's time for the rejected stones to come together and build a new world. I want to say that as you stand and sit in the heat today, be reminded of the people who suffer much more. The people without health care. Because we have a president and an attorney general who will not defend health care. The people who worry about voting rights. Yeah. because we have a president, a Congress, and an attorney general that will not defend voting rights. Think about the families that are being separated and the children who are crying because we have a president, a Congress, and an attorney general that attacks immigrants and tears children away from their families and make up in your mind that rain or shine, we have justice on our mind, and we will never, never surrender the fight for justice. All right, thanks. My Jewish friends know that tearing children away from families was an atrocity of the Holocaust. My African American family knows that tearing children away from families was an atrocity of slavery. My Native families know that tearing children away from families was an atrocity of genocide. My Muslim brothers and sisters and Palestinian brothers and sisters know what it means to have children torn away. No matter who it is, what race, what color, or what religion, we will not stand for these attacks on our children. And so my brothers and sisters fight. Stand. Speak truth to power.
That's right.
Believe love is greater than hate.
Yes.
And truth is greater than love.
Yes.
Than lies, yeah. Truth is greater than lies. And know that the Attorney General and the President, the way that they are treating immigrants is unconscionable, unconstitutional, and immoral. And we will not allow them to use the Bible to justify violence and policy devastation against our brothers and sisters. Because we are the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we are here to build up a new world. God bless you. Love every one of you. And see you when I get back.
All right.
What do we want? Justice. When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want it?
Now.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
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 What do we want? Justice. When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want it?
Now.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
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 All right, we're going back to having a chance to hear from Rabbi Rick Jacobs, the president of the Reunion of Reform Judaism, who is here with us today.
So friends, we're right outside the Department of Justice, and we'd like to invite the Attorney General of the United States to come join us. We're going to have a little Bible lesson. We're going to have a little lesson to remember if you want to invoke religious tradition, and we can invoke all the religious traditions right here. Because we are a multi-faith, multi-racial group that has a faith and a moral clarity. So, Mr. Attorney General, if you want to find the biblical text to stand on the kind of future and present we are here to advocate for, it is in the opening verses of the book of Genesis, where God says, God didn't create some of us equal. God created all of us, but Selam Elohim, in the divine image. And all of our faith traditions say that there are no exceptions. There's no exception about what country you may live in. It makes no exception for the poor or the rich. In God's law, all are children of God, all are equal, all are capable of living lives of holiness. So we ask you, Mr. Attorney General, if you want to pull a quote, pull it from Genesis. If that's not to your liking, go to the book of Deuteronomy. Pull out justice, justice you shall pursue. It reminds us that justice doesn't land in your laps. Justice isn't handed to you. Justice is something you have to run after. We're here today to remind you that we will not rest until justice is what the Justice Department is all about. And that we return our country to the core values that have made it great for centuries. And that is a country that will stand for all of us. Healthcare, not for some of us. Housing, not for some of us. Poverty is not an affliction. It is a choice of government. We are living in the richest country ever to live on this planet. And we will not be silent. And we will not be still. And we're not just going to stop traffic, we're going to stop the injustice. We're going to stop the overlooking of all of us for some of us. So Mr. Attorney General and all those who lead, we can see the Capitol. And by the way, those who are missing this moment of leadership are found throughout the spectrum of political partisanship. We're here because we're part of a bigger coalition. Our coalition is a poor people's campaign, and we stand together united and joined together in all of our faiths, in all of our backgrounds, and we are going to sit down so we can rise up. And we will not sit down so that we will be passive. We will be strong. We will be incredibly committed. So, Mr. Attorney General, if you can hear these words, come join us. Because there's some schooling that we need to accomplish. And by the way, you may not have paid close attention in Sunday school, but it seems to me you maybe didn't pay attention in law school either. That this country is founded upon a commitment to the rule of law and justice. Not for some of us, Mr. Attorney General, but for all of us. So let's remind you and all of us, we're not going back. Forward together.
Not one step back.
Forward together.
Not one step back.
Poor People's Campaign. A national call for moral revival. That's why we're here. That's what we're standing up for. And that's what we will never back down from. Forward together.
All right, y'all. We're about to sing a song that asked everyone to rise up. So I'm going to need those sitting to rise up if you're able with me right now. Because we, these folks know that we ain't going to let nobody turn us around. Is that right?
Right.
But that we have the power to change this world and to turn it around. So that's what we're going to sing right now. It's a call and response. You've been singing it all day. Here we go. If I got some of my song leaders, if you want to come up by me, you can. Here we go. Some clapping. Rise up. We're going to rise up.
Rise up. We're going to rise up.
We're gonna ride.